want to turn, challenge you to turn in your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2. We had spoken this morning about willingness. We're talking about leadership, just started a series in the book of Nehemiah, talking about willingness, and there are three points we talked about this morning very briefly. We need to be willing to grow. This is no minor issue, and I want to repeat it very, I have a limited time, so I'm trying to rush through the introduction. Deep breath. Okay. I'm reminded at the end of those types of times, my wife will say, you know what, probably would have been better if you would have just slowed up a little. So I'm trying to slow up a little. Okay, here's the point. Seriously, you've got to come to an awareness that God is not satisfied with you being right where you're at. He intends for you to go forward. There is more to be done. All we have to do is look at our neighbors, look around the community, look within our own congregation. There is tons of work to be done for the Lord. Number one enemy, complacency. The number one enemy is our love of self. We're interested in getting our own little environment together. Shame on us when there's all sorts of people that need to understand better who Jesus Christ is, come to know him on a personal basis, or they're going to spend an eternity in damnation. That ought to be motivation. And there are others who know the Lord Jesus Christ that have never been accountable to one another and have never grown. And they don't even know the basics about biblical sanctification, so their lives turn out to be messes, even though they may well personally know Jesus. That's a tragic waste of a life. So, my challenge to you and I, are you willing to grow? I don't care what age you are, whether you're young or whether you're old, you've got to decide to say, you know what? I am going to become more the person that God wants me to be. Number two, to be a good leader, to be the type of Christian, the type of individual that God's calling us to be, we need to have a willingness to care about others. It says it over and over in the scriptures that we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. We are supposed to be so concerned that we even love our enemies. They are to know that we are believers by our love for one another. We're not talking about emotion here. First and foremost, we're talking about a willingness to sacrificially give of yourself to meet the need of another. Is that where you're at? And the third point from this morning's message, we do not need any more people sitting in the pews with recommendations. I'm telling you, we do not need that. There's all sorts of critics. That's all they are, is critics. We got to get over being negative and get excited about accomplishing great things for our Savior. And there's a huge difference. We need to be purposing to be change agents, each one of us individually. And I'll tell you, the number one way that works in my own life is I get really serious about becoming more the person that Christ wants me to be. And then I plug in, and it is my heart's desire to see others grow in a like manner. That's what life is to be consumed by. Not by our retirement plans, not by the painting of our own house, and not by all of these other things. Although I am not naive to the reality that we have to do it. Now, we're switching to chapter 2. Willingness was chapter 1. Preparation is number 2. I have 3 quotes. 2 of them I know who they are. The third one, I really tried to check out my quotes. But the quote is really good. I don't have a clue who the third guy is. But the quote's still good, so I'm going to share it with you anyway. The first one comes from a football quarterback. Now think about this. We're talking about preparation from Nehemiah chapter 2. Spectacular achievements come from unspectacular preparation. No, he's right on. I know this from my college days, where I was on a Division II national championship team. So they're pretty serious about what they were doing. I'll tell you what, they were serious 365 days a year. If you're on one of their scholarships, they expected you to be all the time thinking about winning the next championship. It was preparation, preparation, preparation. But what did they have, 12 games? You know, it's my point is a whole lot of preparation time compared to the number of times you're in the game. Bear Bryant, a tremendous coach, said this, and this is a powerful truth. It's not the will to win that matters. Now, we always think, oh, they got a will, they got to want to win. He is right on the money. Everybody wants to win. Ever known anybody that wants to lose? I mean, it's really a unique situation. It's a pathetic situation, actually, unless they're trying to be honorable and say, you know what, I'm going to let my buddy win once. It goes on to say, it's the will to prepare that matters. And the third one, now this guy, I really don't know who it is. So if somebody can figure out who this guy is afterwards, I frankly would be a little interested. Unless a man has trained himself for his chance, the chance will only make him look ridiculous. Have you ever seen, I saw one person speak to this, where I got this quote. They then went ahead and talked about people that, a particular individual won an Oscar. And they'd won an Oscar a long time before, and then they had, you know, 20 years later, and now they were only doing actressing as a kind of a part-time thing. And she never expected to win. And she won the Oscar and made an absolute fool of herself, and by the write-up on it, said that she lives with that problem. People make fun of her even today. Why? She wasn't prepared. She was caught off guard. And she said some stupid things. Let me tell you, that happens in our own lives too. We can have opportunities that the Lord has burdened our heart for, but if we never get around to preparing ourselves, that's the very point of Bible Institute, by the way. Preparing ourselves so that we know the Word, so that we can match the challenges of life. Five ways to prepare. I'm going to give you the answers, then we're going to talk about each one. Prepare for some time to pass. Once you get a burden, now as a pastor of an inner city church, many times individuals get their life together. They may go through a drug rehab program, or they'll come out of prison and they have been sitting there in this transition, and they've radically changed the direction they were going, and they come out with this big ministry ideas. I'll tell you, 99% of the time, they expect that new ministry that they have been burdened about to happen right now. Now, I'll let you in on a secret. That rarely happens. Number two, prepare to respond to the open door. Get your heart right. You'll see Nehemiah manifest these characteristics. This is all from chapter 2 of Nehemiah. And then prepare by praying. And the third, fourth one is to have, prepare to have, to go alone in some situations. Your burden may not be my burden. And at some points in the journey, you may have to do some of the groundwork all by yourself to get it going. And you should be shocked. Why doesn't everybody gather around and do this for me? Now, one thing I have learned is a big challenge to me. You know, and I publicly thank Pam for challenging me to think through this. How often I get the opportunity to grab somebody else's monkey and run with it. You understand what I'm saying? Someone else's burden, they come and, oh, we got to do this. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not into that. I'm way, way, way too tired out to do that one. But I'll tell you what I am. I am all for facilitating people to accomplish all that God wants them to do. That's a good plan, and that's a workable plan. So it all comes back to us really trying to identify what each one of us, what would God have us to do? You know what God might have you to do is simply plug into one other individual and make a difference in their life. That's a little concerning, okay? We'll just pretend that didn't happen, but it's also not advancing, so... maybe we're back to our signals, Jimmy, so they can just move it to the next slide. Oh, there we go. Okay, first point. prepare for some time to pass. I'm because of the length of the passage and the fact we only have a few minutes, let me say this. Nehemiah chapter 2 references a month, Nisan. Nisan, it talks about when he finally goes before the king and the king and him have a discussion. Let me give you a narrative of the chapter 2 without reading the 20-some verses. It starts off with him going into the presence of the king, and the king recognizes he has a downtrodden spirit. And the king says, I see that you're really sad. That comes from only a troubled life, that type of a situation. He's able to notice it on his countenance. Now, by the way, it may well have been that he planned this, but that was phenomenally risky. I mentioned this morning briefly, in that time, the historical accounts declare that those type of leaders often would take a person's life for being sad in their presence. So this is, you know, you ever been in situations where you have, you know, you're feeling one way and then all of a sudden you're in a different situation and you've got to put a smile on your face? Well, when you were in the presence of the king, you put a smile on your face because you knew there's a serious consequence for not doing so. But in this case, he allowed himself to be sad. The king responds to this, notes it, and his the queen is there also, and they dialogue and say, what's the problem? And he responds to this. But before he does, he prays. Then he goes on, and the king asks some details, and he has a laid-out plan for them. It is just an incredible testimony of how, if we want to get your life going, read the book of Nehemiah. Pray for a burden, and then ask God in prayer to give you direction on how to accomplish it. In chapter 2, verse 1, it talks about Nisan as the month that he's before the king. In chapter 1, where we started the book, we started this morning, where he got the burden, he had to report from his brother and the other men of Judah, it was a different month. Now, for in our calendar, it was November, December. It was November, early part of December. And now it is 6 months later, and he gets his opportunity before the king. I'll tell you, when I saw that, I said to myself, now that's realistic. You get a burden, it may take a while to get it going. And you know what? I'll tell you, one of the things that I've experienced, a lot of people have burdens from messages they hear and they get all emotional about it. And they get all excited, this is what I'm going to do, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And you check back with them about 2 weeks later and they don't even remember it. And I think there's some wisdom in making sure that there's some time here. I think God does that on purpose between our burden for something and really being able to experience it. Number two, prepare to respond to the open door. Then the king said to him, what do you request? His response was to pray. And then he said to the king, if it pleased the king, and if your servant was found to favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah. So he knew exactly what he wanted to ask. To the city of my fathers, to the tombs, that I may rebuild it. Now note, then the king said to me, and the queen also sitting next to him, how long will the journey be, and when will you return? By the way, he had thought about this. He understood. He had an answer for the king. So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. But he wasn't there that alone. Note this. He had a burden. It had been 6 months. He had been praying. He noted, he had thought through in his mind to the best of his ability. Now, this is a cupbearer. This is an individual who had probably never, ever left the presence of where the king was. And in those days, it wasn't like they went like our president on constant trips. You know, there wasn't the way it was. They very rarely traveled. So he would not have had vast experience, but being in the courtroom of the king Furthermore, I said, if it please the king, let letters be written to me for the governors of the region beyond the river, that they might permit me to pass through. So he thought about that. You know what? If I'm going to do this, I'm going to have some permission letters, and would you grant that to me? And not only had he thought about that deal in detail, look at this. And the letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he might give me the timber to make the beams of the gates and the citadels, which pertain to the temple for the city hall, and on. He had thought about that. He said, I'm going to need timber, and by the way, would you give me that certification? What does this all say? In his period of time, he just didn't moan and groan about how bad things were. He was praying for God to do a work. And he started to put his head together and say, listen, what do I need to do? If God would grant me to do this, well, how would I accomplish this task? And he had a detailed plan in mind. That is really an important lesson. Too many people go off half-baked and wonder why things fall apart. We have been given a brain that is way better than the other creations of God. You know, different than a dog, different than for a purpose. But it is sad how few people use their brains. And you know what? It wouldn't be a bad thing to dialogue with others and get some, you know, ideas. How can you improve what you're doing? How can you be more effective? Those are all positive things. But the point is, there was obviously some brain power put to this. He had a plan. Will you be ready for whatever God has burdened you to do? I thought of a list of questions that you might want to ask yourself. If you were burdened to say, you know what, I am really, really, really troubled about the graduation rate of the kids in our neighborhood. And by the way, if you're not, you ought to be. It is really pathetic. It may be that you could be burdened for the unemployment of the men that are often in our neighborhood that have real serious issues because of past choices past choices that leave them with felonies, leave them with a drug record, and all of these other things that make it very tough. You may be burdened for that. Okay? Being burdened is one thing, but you know what? We got to just plug in and get something done. That's why I'm thrilled about the counseling ministry we have. It was a heart's burden that was put together, and now we literally train counselors from 12 other churches. It's quite amazing. Plus, conduct a lot of counseling within our own ministry. I think of the prison ministry. Pastor Dave and I went to Forth and asked for, I think I asked Dr. McLaughlin, did I not, if I could have Dave come to family. And I said, you know, he has a burden to doing what we're doing, just reaching these people that are, the men in particular, that are caught up in drugs and alcohol and that sort of thing. And would you allow him to come over here? And Dave and I came, and we worked in different ways to do that. Some of them a little more successful than others. Some of them pretty pathetically unsuccessful, but we kept at it. And now today, the ministry at the county jail. You recognize what a phenomenal impact our ministry has in the county jail? It's stunning. All the Bible studies that go on, they're just all the individuals that are in our own midst that pass through. And then the fact that we not only have Dave as the head chaplain down there, we also have Gloria that is the female chaplain. Quite a stunning scenario. That didn't happen accidentally. That happened with prayer and planning and thought of how we could get it structured and financed. Will you be ready for your burden? One question, what do you need in order to get the thing started? That's a good question to ask yourself. What information should I gather? You know, like if you wanted to particularly start, I do have this, by the way. I haven't figured out how to accomplish it. I am praying about it. I have a burden for the homeless teenagers. We have an enormous amount of homeless teenagers in the Twin Cities that on a regular basis are sleeping under the bridges year-round, and out in other situations, often get caught up in prostitution and the likes. It's a horrible situation. Yet the laws are very, very complex in regards to how you can even reach out to them. So you got to be really careful how you do this to do it right. You do have the bridge. Okay, the bridge is one of the places where the system provides for housing, safe housing for these teenagers. Now, I don't mean to be gross, and I do know they're minors, but they literally, like bowls of candy, they have condoms sitting on the tables. Now, I only share that type of a gross reality is to say, you know what, it probably is an area where having some committed Christians getting involved would be a good idea. Because they don't really think that's the best idea for the teenagers. You understand what I'm trying to say? You know, there are needs. If you don't see needs, just come. I'll tell you what, we can go on a tour and start seeing the needs. The needs are everywhere. They're overwhelming, yet we can get comfortable. I got to get going. What facts do you need to know? What skills do you need to learn? Who are the people who can help me most? And who will I be working with? Form the team. Number three, prayer. Notice what he did here. Now, there's a couple things. First of all, in verse 4, he says, "What do you request?" In his very next statement, "So I prayed to the God of heaven." What is he saying? He is reminding us of the power of these moment-by-moment prayers. Are you doing that on a regular basis? I stand before you recognizing that at different times in my life, I do much better at this than others. But when it brims back to my mind, I say, you know what, I've got to get back to this. Praying in my car before I drive from here to another place for safety. Praying for wisdom in conversation. I do that often. When I have a difficult phone call to make, I will pray and say, Lord, help me. Or I have we have these caller IDs. The phone call's coming in. And you see the ID and you say, oh no. I say, Lord, give me strength. Give me wisdom. Give me patience. I'm stressed already and I'm fearful this is going to not help. But Lord, give me the calmness to be your agent. Those are good things. This passage, chapter 2 of verse 4 of Nehemiah is a great reminder that godly men and women do that. My question is, do you? Number two, another thing that I don't have time to point out right now, because I only have a couple minutes left, is this reality. In the 13 chapters, there are 9 recorded prayers by Nehemiah. Nehemiah, if he is one thing for sure, he was a man of prayer. And if you want to accomplish the burdens of God, you ought to plug in. Think about that. How is your prayer life doing? My son and I are accountable to one another on that very item. Both of us were convicted. I'm talking about my son that is a pastor down in Greenville. We're both convicted about our prayer life. And so we coveted together to say, we are going to ask how we're doing. That's a good thing to do. And I'm telling you, it is a good thing to take it up a notch in our prayer life, no matter where you are in that process. And then he went on to say to the king, and he answered, told him just what the deal was. Prepare to have to go alone. There is, your burden is your burden. It's not necessarily my burden. And there will be things that if you are going to accomplish it, you're going to have to be able to stand up and go some of the journey by yourself. Not that we don't gather teams. But if God has laid the burden on you, he expects you to not just be in the back row. You understand what I'm trying to say? Every one of us has the capability to be leading in different areas of our life, plugging in. Even our teenagers. Our teenagers can be plugging into other teenagers. Man, if you don't see it, your friends are having trouble. And you ought to be one that would come alongside and be so concerned for them that you get into your own word, your Bible, and look for answers so that you can be an encouragement, you be a resource. My one granddaughter, who has just an incredible situation, doesn't live in, from a Christian viewpoint, that good a situation. But I'll tell you what, she came to know Christ about When she was 12 years old, she's now 16, going to be 17. We provided her a teen Bible that had an index on answers for questions that teens ask. I'll tell you what an encouragement she is to me. Because she really has a burden for her friends, and she has a burden to be used of the Lord. You know, circumstances don't dictate whether you can be used of God. It really has a whole lot to do with whether you want to be. Are you willing? But if you are willing, then you need to do some preparation. He came to Jerusalem and was there for 3 days, and then he arose in the night, I and a few men with me, and I told no one what my God had put on my heart to do at Jerusalem, nor was there any animal with me except the one on which I rode. What is he saying? He was saying, I didn't go in there saying, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be this great solution to the Jerusalem problem. He didn't do that yet. You know why he didn't do that? Because he recognized he needed to better understand the problem. Proverbs 18:13 speaks to this. He that answers the matter before he heareth it, the folly and the shame unto him. He went and gathered the facts himself so that he could speak specifically. And he was cranking in his mind, all right, when the time is right, we're going to do this. When the time is right, I'm going to have a plan, because the people are going to need to know what to do if we're going to accomplish this. 16, the officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done. I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or the others who did the work. But you better be prepared for opposition. If you have a burden to accomplish something for the Lord, and it really is of the Lord, we live in a life where there is spiritual battle going on. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. And if you are going to be used of God, you need to be prepared to have that pushback of the evil one and the forces of this world and the forces of this culture in which we live that does not want Christ to get the glory. That's just a reality. And if you expect anything else, you expect to be warmly received, you're a fool. I have no other word for it. You're a fool. That isn't the way it works. We're in a battle. And so you got to expect opposition. Verse 10 says, Sanballat and Tobiah were not impressed with this plan and did not want it to go forward. In verse 19, they added another man, Geshem. The Arab was also with the other two and was opposed to Nehemiah's plan. And so he definitely had some opposition coming his way. You need to be prepared for opposition. But that doesn't mean we need to be defeated. So there they are. And the question is, first and foremost, do you want to be used of God? Starts there. Or are you just fine doing your own thing? Lord help you if that's your attitude, particularly if you're a believer. But you got to ask yourself, do I want to be used to God? Do I want to be? And I'm telling you, we're only sojourning here. The real life is in the life to come. And the scripture implies that how we live this life is going to impact that experience. And so therefore, we ought to invest ourselves wisely now while we can. But once we identify, if you're here and you don't have a burden, the very first thing you ought to do tonight is commit earnestly and regularly and faithfully and with zeal, appeal to the throne room of God. Say, Lord, lay upon me what you want me to do with my life. Lord, convict me if I'm so self-focused that I don't even recognize you've been tapping on my shoulder. Get my point? Every one of us needs to be mindful of how we spend our lives, because we only get to do it once. None of us are living tomorrow, yesterday again. But if the Lord wills, we're all going to live tomorrow. How are you going to use it? Is it at the end of the day or any further along in the path that the Lord has laid out for us? Or have we wasted the day? And then once we understand the burden, expect that it may be a journey and it may take some time. Number two, prepare yourself so when the door opens, you're ready to run through the open door. Three, be praying. Be a man or a woman of prayer. Connect with God. Number four, prepare to have times when it seems like no one else cares. But that doesn't mean we quit. Forgetting those things which are behind, we press forward, not sit down. Amen? American Christianity has sat down. That's pathetic truth. And yet we have a culture. It really has its manifest, you know, it's spreading out from here, by the way. Ever notice how the urban culture is affecting the suburban environment? The way they dress, the rap that they listen to, all of that stuff comes from it comes from a deteriorating culture. We live in the midst of it. We need to wake up, recognize our role as a soldier of the Lord, and get involved by prayer, by willingness to go forward when it seems like no one else is standing with us, and be prepared for some opposition. We're going to close by singing a hymn.